Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor and lots of wonderful women today.
It's a woman fest. A lot of estrogen.
Yes. You do a little something with the testosterone here and even out the room.
I know. I got it every Wednesday, it seems.
You're feeling very manly?
I hope so.
Well, you know, there's only a couple things that excite me more than Kenny Rogers. And one of them is books. You know how much I love to read?
No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, my gosh. I love to read. Actually, I'm reading all the time. As a kid, do you know that my claim to fame was that I read every book in the public library in the children's section by the time I was 13?
Is this the Kansas children's section?
The Hayes, Kansas children's library.
How many books did they have there?
A lot. I mean, a lot. But I spent every summer there. My dad would drop me off in the morning on his way to work, pick me up at night. I was a weird kid. And I spent a lot of time in my closet reading to my dog.
Wow.
Still do.
That's why you're so chatty nowadays.
That's right. Because I've traveled the world in my books. And I love to read. Love to read about just anything, really. I love fiction, but I love nonfiction. How about you, Lee?
I prefer nonfiction?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have the author of The Chic Entrepreneur on the show today. I think you know Elizabeth Gordon. This book is a wealth of knowledge. I'm telling you, it's by my bedside. And there are great little chic tips in here. And I go to bed every night with a chic tip on my mind.
And how long have you had that book?
Yeah, I got a copy a little earlier, but I know now it's available via Amazon.
So everywhere. It's in all the bookstores.
Love it. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Elizabeth Gordon.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and so happy to hear that you're enjoying The Chic Entrepreneur.
I am. I love the chic tips. I love the whole concept, but tell us a little bit about your book. Is it your first novel, first book?
Yes, this is my first book that I wrote, and I actually wrote it with keeping in mind kind of what you were saying. Now, I really enjoy reading fiction books as well, but because of the line of work I'm in as a business consultant, it's important that I keep up on with my business books. But a lot of times business books can be a little bit dry. So that was part of my goal, was to make a business book that would be fun and interesting to read for women and kind of combine some of the elements of a fiction book by telling some stories and teaching business principles that way.
And tell us about the cover.
The cover has two huge stiletto heels on it. And when we were designing the cover, it was kind of funny because we wanted to make sure it was eye-catching. And I really liked the idea of kind of turning the symbol of a high heel into a real power symbol for women. Because a lot of times you think of the high heel as sort of the damsel in distress, and it's not necessarily viewed as a power symbol. But I think we're seeing a lot of women embrace their economic power as they are venturing out into entrepreneurship. And that was my goal, is really to show, you know, that high heels are a powerful symbol. And it obviously fits with the subtitle of the book, Put Your Business in Higher Heels.
But it's not necessarily just for women. I know my husband has shared the book with me as well, and he really enjoyed the chic tip about understanding your financial statements.
That's a good one and a very important one. Yeah, it's been great to see the reactions of men, and I have just as many men buying the book as women, which is really exciting to see because I think men are intrigued by the female perspective on business. With more and more women doing business versus in the business world, corporate America, as well as entrepreneurship, men need to get up on, you know, what is the way that women do business and how is that different than men? What are some of the lessons that women have learned that they can learn from?
Is the book about like starting your own business, or if you're in a corporate setting, is it relevant?
It is helpful for anyone who is either thinking of starting their own business or has already taken that leap and has started their own business and now wants to take it to the next level. So I've had several people read it who are kind of still in that dreaming stage. I really want to start my own business, but I have no idea how to even get started. So I think it's a really good way to try on what business ownership would be like. Really think through your full strategy of how you would start and what would be your differentiators, what would be your marketing strategy, how would you make sure you had enough money coming in the door every month to pay the bills, how would you partner with other companies, and all of those types of things.
So it sounds like women kind of creating a baby, creating something that they can call their own, but then the ultimate goal is to be able to walk away from it, correct?
Exactly. When you build a business, you really need to start with the end in mind. And I think that is the fallacy that a lot of small business owners fall into, is thinking that they're going to be the one doing all the work. And so what they end up doing is just creating a job for themselves. And yes, they own the job and they're the boss of that job, but ultimately it's really hard to take a vacation. And if they're not doing the work, none of the work is getting done. There is no business without that one person. And women are particularly susceptible to falling into this trap. So the chic entrepreneur is all about building a business that ultimately is going to function without you, or with you only having to do the stuff that you really love in your business, so that you can really pick and choose and have the lifestyle that you want in addition to the financial success.
How soon can a business owner, you know, do that transition from doing all the work to delegating the work?
I would say that it takes a minimum of about 2 years is what you're looking at. However, if you begin with that end in mind, you can perhaps do it a little sooner than that. But I recommend to all of the clients that I work with that if you're going to start a business, you need to at a minimum commit a good 2 years into it. Maybe three if you're starting to think about how am I going to sell this. But that's really the time frame that you're looking at.
In your book, it's apparent that you've done a lot of research. It sounds like years and years of research on top companies, companies that have had success, companies that have not necessarily. Can you tell me a little bit about your research?
Absolutely. Well, I started in a corporate consulting background and have worked literally for hundreds of companies, both Fortune 500 as well as hundreds of startup companies. Being a consultant, you have the unique advantage of getting to see the insides of all these different organizations and really analyze what's working well and what doesn't work so well. And like most things in life, you learn more from the mistakes and the failures than you actually do from the successes. So by being able to experience so many different companies and see what's gone wrong, what are the challenges that they're facing, because that's when oftentimes you bring in a consulting organization, is when things aren't quite right, when you want improvements. And I've been able to work on lots of those different improvement projects. And that background gave me the ability to really analyze what are the best practices, what are the smart things that you can do and that you can invest in to make a company really long-term sustainable and build a solid foundation for growth.
It's amazing. There are so many common sense little tidbits in your book, but unless they're reiterated or unless you read them over and over and they're articulated by someone like yourself, you forget. It's amazing just the common business practices that you forget.
It is. I mean, there's so much to do as an entrepreneur. You really get caught up in the day-to-day just getting things done that oftentimes it's difficult to carve out that time to take a step back and look at the big picture. Remind yourself of what your ultimate vision is and what your strategy is for getting there. So there's a lot of little things along the way, and the devil is in the details, right?
Mm-hmm.
So paying attention to some of those small details that make a big difference, that really change the way that you view your company, the way your company operates, and the way that the outside world views your company. Do they look at you as just one person, one man shop, or are they really looking at, wow, this person knows what they're doing. They're building a sustainable, a successful business.
So you want to take your business from flats to stilettos, eh?
Exactly. Put on those higher heels. I mean, putting your business in higher heels, it means making it more attractive to others so that when you are shopping the market, when you are looking for a buyer ultimately or an investor, your business looks good. And that's what higher heels do for you.
Did you notice my heels today?
I sure did, and I'm really liking them.
And you know what? I'm not even a Georgia fan. Every time I wear these shoes, they're black and white with red plaid, and every time I wear them, people say, did you go to Georgia?
They do, kind of. I wonder if people bark at you. They give you a little bulldog.
No. You know, maybe that's why people are barking at me. I had no idea. Now I'm putting two and two together. Interesting. You know, if I were on my toes in my heels, I would probably get the barking, right?
You definitely would then.
So where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Are you going to write other books?
Yes, I actually have another book in the works, and I'm talking with a publisher out on the West Coast for that one. And that's actually also going to be a business book for women in the format of a business fable, because I'm finding that this is a real niche for me, the idea of making business fun, making it interesting, and making it really relatable for women.
Mm-hmm.
So what the second book is called Here Comes the Business. And it's about a wedding planner that starts her business, and she makes a number of different mistakes along the way and then gradually learns her business lessons. It's been described as Who Moved My Cheese meets Bridget Jones' Diary.
I love it. I love it. And that was one of your chic tips about communicating and telling a story. People relate to stories.
They do. They remember them. And now that I'm doing a lot of speaking, I'm trying to incorporate more stories in my talks, because you'll find that you can stand up there and talk to people for an hour, and the one thing they will remember is the story. Mm-hmm. The story really hits home. And I've had several women call me after reading the book and say, you know, I was reading about Seema in chapter 4, and mm-hmm. I was thinking I'm doing the same thing, or I'm making the same mistake, or I'm doing the same thing. How can I adopt this practice? It really allows you to see yourself in the business more than just bullet points and, you know, a to-do list does.
There are a lot of business books on the market right now. And the one thing I noticed about yours is that it's practical, it's funny, it's easy to read. And it really kept my attention. How can people get your book?
It is actually available in Barnes & Noble's worldwide and also on the internet, barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. So it's available in bookstores everywhere.
Well, Lee, you've got to read the book.
I live the book.
You live the book?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
I see Elizabeth every week.
You're a lucky
man. He gets a chic tip from me every
exactly.
week.
Exactly. She's mentoring me.
Wow. How does that feel?
I'm becoming more chic.
Let me see your high heels.
My heels aren't that high, but I'm working on it.
You know, without being silly about it, it really is applicable to both men and women. I hope people aren't intimidated by the cover. Although I think a man would look very manly reading this book. I saw a man reading this on a park bench. I'd be curious.
Absolutely. It was funny. I gave a presentation to a bunch of venture capitalists and predominantly a male audience. And several of them bought it and with the guise of, oh, my wife will enjoy this, or one of our employees will enjoy this. And I talked to several of the VCs afterwards, and they all said, I read it, and I really liked it, and I think it's fantastic, and I want my clients to read it, too. So it is really solid, practical business advice, despite
Maybe you can do a different cover for the guys.
Yeah, perhaps a set of loafers.
A set of loafers.
Or a top hat.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us today.
It was my pleasure, Amy. Thank you for having me.
And what's your website? You have a business that has a lot of valuable information, a great website. What is that?
Our business website is flourishingbusiness.com. And then there's also another website for the book, which is chicentrepreneur.com. And we actually send out a chic tip newsletter for free, and it's very valuable. Everybody seems to get a lot out of that. So I would encourage people to go to chicentrepreneur.com and sign up for free chic tips.
You'll love it. You know, last week it really had me thinking about cross-pollinating.
There you go.
Yes.
Pollinate your business.
Exactly. I think I've pollinated this week. Yeah, I'm pollinating right now. Right, you don't even know it.
As we speak.
You don't even know it.
I can see the flowers blooming right here.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us today, and we hope everyone will check out The Chic Entrepreneur. Great reading. Sign up for the free newsletter, and we cannot wait to see what you have in store for us next. Francina Price, thank you so much for being on the Atlanta Business Radio Show today. Of Building Champions, tell us a little bit about Building Champions.
Thank you, Amy. I'm so excited to be on the show. Building Champions is a women-owned facility management company, and we are currently working with a lot of corporate clients and retail clients to help them build their brand, build their facilities, design, create strategic planning opportunities for them on how they grow their business. And a lot of times people are not aware that when you're building a business, your facility is a key proponent to that. Mm-hmm. And you need to make sure that you plan your processes, your people, and the place that they're going to be so that they can effectively work in the environment that you're creating for them. So that's what we do every day, is help people design their dream business facility and what that's going to look like.
What are some common mistakes that people make that you help correct?
One of the biggest challenges we have is people start before they know what it's going to cost them. a lot of times we want to create a benchmarking exercise so that people understand what the total costs are for building a facility or expanding a facility. And so usually people go out and they hire an interior designer, they start talking about all their plans, but they really don't know what the impact is financially. And so one of the greatest opportunities for me lately is going in and doing that financial analysis, that benchmarking exercise, to really get them to understand that this could be a $1 million exercise that you're wanting to go through, and do you have the capital to sustain such a change, or are there other things we can do to minimize your expenses?
So what's your background? What got you interested in this?
I actually started as a general office assistant in a small insurance company and realized that this was actually an industry that people could work in. And over the course of time, I've grown from a general office assistant to a vice president executive at Home Bank Mortgage Corporation. I've worked at several other Fortune 500 companies. And through that, I've developed a real passion for people and places, and I like organization. And so I learned that facilities management was really a job, and someone had to do it. And a lot of times, I just think people don't really know all of the things that go on in facilities. You just know when you're hot, you call someone. When you're cold, you call someone. When the desk is broken, you call someone. Well, that's facilities manages all the engineering and all of the different things that happen in a business. And I just kind of grew into this role.
So start from maybe the beginning. When would someone ask for your services?
If they're thinking about opening a business,
they of any kind?
Of any kind, whether it's a restaurant, it could be a shoe store, it could be a corporate office, a telecom company. It doesn't matter what the industry is. If they're looking at opening a company and they need a facility for that company, they should call me, because at that point we need to decide what they can afford, how much facility do they really need, and what is their business practice, and what type of facility will they work best in.
Now, they should contact you before contacting like a commercial real estate person?
They should do it simultaneously, because the commercial real estate person is really going to find them a facility. But as a facility management specialist, one of the things that I can do is help them negotiate just a little bit better. So when they're making that deal, because a part of my job is lease administration and lease review, then I could say to them, here's some things you want to make sure you consider when you're working with your broker. You might want to get some of the expenses controlled, or you might want to do this. And so it really helps them if they have me consulting with them while they're looking for that space. Then they can make a really good business decision.
So do you even guide them as far as vendors? Do you have a preferred list of vendors?
I do. I have a list of what I call my affiliate partners, and I network a lot. And these are individuals and vendors that I've worked with over the years, and I know that they have a great business ethic. It's really about the service. And so I'm always looking, how do I get the client what their needs are at an affordable price, but on time and on schedule? Because if your schedule's not good, then the client is going to waste money anyway trying to build a facility or even expand one. So, yes, I have my own preferred vendors.
So tell us a little bit about Crossing the Jordan. What is that?
It's my passion. You know, the economy is doing whatever it's doing. I'm not going to say it's a recession or it is a recession. I just know that people have challenges with managing the money and the resources that they have. And so last year, I just had a huge passion about teaching women about the importance of understanding and managing money. And my heart is to see as many families living a debt-free life and enjoying financial freedom. And that financial freedom number is different for every family. But I'm really understanding that people don't know what that number looks like or even how they're going to get there.
What does that mean, a financial freedom number?
It's what is it going to take for you and your family to really enjoy your life together without worrying about where how you're going to pay the next bill, or having so much debt that you don't have enough money, or what does that number look like to retire when you and retirement doesn't always have to be when you're 65. Retirement can be when you're 50. It could be when you're 55, or it could be when you're 75. But knowing what it's going to take for you to live at your current comfortable life that lifestyle that you want to have, what does it take financially for you to be able to get there and do that?
So that's probably different for everyone. I mean, what's comfortable for one family might not be that of the next.
Yes, it's very different. And one of the things we do in the class is take women through a financial needs analysis so that they can build a financial statement and identify what that financial number is. So, yeah, it's different for everyone.
So Crossing the Jordan, is that a component of Building Champions, or is that something
that's
completely separate?
It's totally separate. It's actually Building Champions is presenting Crossing the Jordan because I happen to be one of the key facilitators of the program and happen to be the person that found it or wrote the curriculum. But it is a separate program, and I actually sponsor the program through Champions Metal Foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. That is my way to promote the program as a free program to the community and only charge for material reimbursements for the women. And this is my way to get it out to people, because if you're having financial troubles, then it's spending a lot of money.
Spending more money.
to learn how to manage your finances.
Right. It's not a good idea. So how can we get it out to the masses of women and really help them with their money management and help them understand that even if you have money, I found out, you still may not know how to manage it effectively.
No, you're right about that. How long is the program?
The program is currently 10 weeks. It's an hour each week. We typically have it in community centers. We're currently
it's an in-person thing, or is it online?
It's an in-person thing. That's our future, is to get it to where we can do some of it online and offer webcast and different types of learnings. But, of course, that comes with the funding process.
Sure.
But, yes, it's a 10-week, 1 hour. We're asking 1 hour, 10 hours to change your life about.
And there's homework they have to do?
There is homework. There's I have a big thing about accountability and actively participating and being engaged in the process. And the reason for the homework is because what I'm finding out is that people have no idea what they have.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's finding out what they already have and then what's missing.
Are people stunned when you tell them they have, like, negative net worth?
Yeah. they're stunned, but they're sad. And it hurts my feelings, too, because no one wants to know that they have all of this stuff. They think they have a really good savings. They think they have a really good 401k program. And when you sit down with them and look through their financial statements, they don't have a good plan, because most women pick their 401k by, well, what did you choose? Mm-hmm. What did my cousin get? And no one really knows how to decide what funds to invest in.
Right. And so, how many people don't even, you know, you take advantage of the 401k?
Oh, my goodness. That's
it's
the
a
sad
lot
part.
Of them. There's a lot of them, especially when the company is matching.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Basically free money.
Right.
It
that's
is.
Just,
and you will be surprised. Our class has women from 19 to 60 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, that really alarms me, because three out of four women are going to be living in poverty by the time they're 50 years old.
Mm.
And you have a large group of women, when they retire, they have less than $10,000. They have more when they have spouses, but when they are single, they don't. And so it's really alarming at the numbers. And this is why it's a big heartfelt for me. It's like, okay, ladies, we have got to get a grip on our money. Mm-hmm. We know how to spend it.
Right.
We know how to shop till we drop. Let's be really savvy investors, and let's figure out how to make money work for us so that we're not working so hard for money. And that's our big push.
I would imagine newly divorced women, women that are recently without a spouse, it would be a great class for them to take.
Yeah, it would be eye-opening,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And widows as well, because a lot of times when widows get their money back from when a spouse dies, they think that they should go and pay all of their bills.
Right.
But they should not, because they don't have that second income. That money really needs to be invested and leveraged to work for them, so they can continue to have that second income.
Lifestyle, right?
Yes.
Right.
And it's amazing that just small little things can help women change their mind about money.
And how do people find out about the program?
Currently, you can call us at 770-822-0186, or you can email me at Francina. At myctjmoney, and that's spelled FRANCINA at mycctjmoney.com. And we typically run an 8-week Karen Share where we have other women bring other women to introduce them to the program. And we usually sign up our next class in that Karen Share. So we run somewhere about 25 to 50 women a class. And we're currently hosting a class in Athens as well as Gwinnett County.
Well, it would almost serve as a support group, too. Women coming together to all learn about the same thing and in many situations probably affected in a negative way. By their finances.
Are they open to sharing? Because, you know, people's money is a weird topic for a lot
of people. They have been. What I've done is in the class we have curriculum, but I've also created this thing where we have breakout groups. And what I do is put them in smaller groups, and then that way they can talk amongst each other. And I ask them, please be candid and open, and transparency is very important. And so if you would just share with the woman across from you some tip that you, something you did that helped you that may help the next woman. And it's really inspiring because a lot of times women have big hearts and they really hate to see someone else go through something really bad. So they don't have a problem sharing. And when we do the financial needs analysis, we do that in confidence with them. And we participate with other licensed securities financial planners who offer their services for free to the women so that the women can get a good understanding of where they are financially.
That's great. What a wonderful thing you're giving back to the community.
I love it.
And it's apparent. It's your passion. And
I love it.
Can you access that information on your Building Champions website?
It's actually not on there. We are currently building a website specifically for CTJ, as we call it, and it's actually in the process. So now, because the program is still fairly new, we are asking that if they just email us, we have all the information. We can mail it out to them. We can call and talk to them on the phone, and they can just call me, and I'll be happy to talk to them.
Do you have guest speakers?
I do have guest speakers. I bring in people from various financial institutions like Legg Mason, which is a mutual fund company. I bring in individuals from insurance companies. Long-term care insurance is one of my big passions, and so we've been doing some workshops around why you need to get this long-term care insurance. So I've brought in people from Genworth and different companies because when I'm talking about money, I'm not just talking about cash. I'm talking about having a will. I'm talking about life insurance. I'm talking about health care insurance.
Right.
We're teaching about cash as well, but what things can you do to generate passive income? So when I use the word money, I'm talking about everything that pertains to your financial well-being, not just cash by itself.
Wow, that's great. What a wonderful resource. Tell us again one last time how people can reach you.
You can email me at francina@myctjmoney.com or call me at 770-822-0186.
And the website for Building Champions?
www.building-champions.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us today and for being our guest. We all hope you'll check out our website and check out one of the Crossing the Jordan little workshops as well. Thank you. And Lee, any final comments?
No, great show again, Amy.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto for the Atlanta Business Radio Show, and we hope you have a wonderful week.